Okay, but so let's just very quickly on the parsha. I heard this in the name of the Shema Shmuel. I thought it was very fascinating. Now, people spend most of the parsha's Noach ripping on Noach, all of his shortcomings, all the things he did wrong. He should have done this, and it always bothers me because at the end of the day, the Torah doesn't call me Yud Tzadikim; it calls Noach a Tzadik. So, whatever issues you have at Noach, at the end of the day, he got a title that most of us none of us will get from the Torah. But Ish Tzadik is not a small title. But at the end of the day, he was different than Avraham Avinu. Why was he so drastically different in his approach to Kiruv? So the Shem Shmuel, the son of Avinezer, writes, and this is maybe also a knock on Noach, but it puts things into a perspective. He points out that Noach was afraid that if he'd go out to the people, perhaps the people would affect him. But we always know sometimes, are we stronger than the group, or the group is going to be stronger than us? So Noach didn't have that. Maybe it's not true, but he just didn't feel it. He felt that if he goes to the people and is going to start having, you know, meetings with 100 people and big, you know, town hall movements, it could be they will impact him. Well, Avraham Avinu was very confident. Avraham Avinu said, no one's impacted. I know what's right. I know what the deal is. No one's going to change my mind. And that's why Avraham Avinu went to the people. And why Noach stayed away from the people. So I just read, and this is a little controversial also, you know, we just finished Maseches Ksubis and the Daf Yomi, so a lot of talk about Kedushas Eretz Yisrael and Chavivas Eretz Yisrael. So everyone knows famously that the Satmar Rebbe had his outlook on Eretz Yisrael. So in 1932, the Satmar Rebbe visited Eretz Yisrael. And someone asked him, why don't you go speak to Rav Kook? Him and Rav Kook obviously did not see eye to eye on how to look at Eretz Yisrael. So supposedly the Satmar Rebbe said, I'm afraid, maybe if I go speak to Rav Kook, he'll convince me his way is right. So the Satmar Rebbe said, so I don't want to go talk to him, I'm just going to stay over here by myself. I'm afraid I'll be impacted by him. So you see sometimes in life, you don't know, you know, we're strong in our opinions, but you get across someone who's very convincing and very compelling, it could have an impact on us. That's what people say, you know, why do you have discussions with them? Sometimes it's not good to have discussions with people, because they might, you know, put svekas in your heads, or put doubt in your mind. It's not worth it. So just stay in your corner. And that was Noach's attitude. He stayed in his corner.
God said when you're not supposed to
debate religion, exactly. Right. Somebody, sometimes it's not good for anyone. It just creates svekas. That's Chana Rashi in last week's parsha, right? Everyone knows the famous Rashi. Why does the Torah open up with Bereishis? Because we don't want the Goyim to say that the Jewish people stole this, so we remind them, no, it's all Hashem. So the obvious kash is, the Goyim aren't learning Chumash. The answer is not for them, it's for us. We as Jews need to be able to answer that question when the world around us says the Jews stole Israel, it's really not theirs. What are we going to answer them? Not what we're going to answer to them. What are we going to answer to ourselves? The svekas that are nisayir from the goyim are going to be in our mind. Because again, I'm not going to show a goy a pasuk in the chumash, say, oh, it's a mefarsha Rashi, I'm not sure what your claim is, guys. They don't care. It's for us. Because when there are svekas, when there are doubts in our mind, it affects us. So it's an important lesson. I think sometimes people are always running, why don't we go? It's not the best thing in the world. Sometimes staying in our own little corner, continuing our tradition, perhaps is safer and better. Okay, everybody say, we're holding over here in the middle of the sugya of Mila. So we're holding over. Let's just quickly read through the Gemara, and we're going to get into this a little bit more today. So the Gemara starts off. This is actually this week's parasha. Okay, Gevaldik. Says in the Gemara, L'moy l'minol. And how do you know a father has a chiyuv to give his son a bris mila? It says in the pasuk, V'ayom alavram es Yitzchak b'noy. Avraham Avinu gave a bris to his son Yitzchak. So we learn from that pasuk that there's a father obligation to give a son a bris. But when the father does not step up to the plate, the father does not do his mitzvah, then mechayev beidin lemamale. Then Bezdin has to get involved. We spoke last week at length. What makes a Bezdin? Is a Bezdin a Bezdin, or a Bezdin is a group of Jewish people? The Chassid says another pasuk, Himol lachem kol zochar. You should all make sure that every Jew gets a bris mila. Heichad lemol beidina. And if Bezdin doesn't step up to the plate, mechayev ihu lemamale nafshe. Then this little boy, when he gets older, he has to give himself a bris mila. The Chassid oral zochar shalayim as psar alasay v'nichrusa says if you will be an oral and you will not have a bris mila, that person will get kares. So you got to take care of it for yourself. Frakti Gemara, this is what we need to get into today. Ihi minol on deloy mechayvi. Frakti Gemara kasha, and how do you know mom is not mechayv to give him a bris mila? We learn from the pasuk that Avraham Avinu gave Yitzchak a bris. What about mom? Ihi minol on deloy mechayvi. How do you know mom is not mechayv?
She
meaning mom. How do we know the mother is not mechayv to give a bris mila? Very funny question. Right? So again, the Gemara had three levels. First level was father. Second level was Bezdin. Third level was son himself. So now the Gemara comes in. 1 second. Why isn't there a fourth level? What happened to mother? Now, why would you think the mother has a chiyuv? Where does the mother come into this picture? So we'll see in a second, a nice pshat, why there'd be even such a havamina. But the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says, no, I have a pasuk. It says, Kashetzive oisoyalikim, like Hashem commanded him. Exclusion. Only Hashem commanded Avraham Avinu to give a bris to his son, and only fathers and not mothers. So this is the Gzeiras HaKasa that excludes women, and women are pater from giving their son a bris mila. So we're going to talk with another today about the big kasha from all the Rishonim and all the Acharonim as well, is that I don't need a pasuk to exclude women. Women are excluded because it's a time-sensitive mitzvah. Mila is a time-sensitive mitzvah. And every time-sensitive mitzvah, women are pater from. So why do I need a special pasuk to tell me that Sarah, a woman, is pater from giving her son a bris mila? Every mother should be pater because it's a time-sensitive mitzvah. Why is mila a time-sensitive mitzvah? You could take your pick, either because you don't do it at night, you can only do it during the day, or because you can't do it until day 8.
Who's the mitzvah on? The person giving the mitzvah?
Good, so that's, okay. So we're going to get to that in a second.
No,
what do you mean? The father has a mitzvah to give his son a bris. So if the Gemara's have a mitzvah, it was the mother should have the same mitzvah. The same mitzvah that the father had, the mother's going to have. Which means you have a positive mitzvah to do it. It happens to be the chefs of the mitzvah is the baby. That is true, I'm not denying it. But so is the chefs of the mitzvah of lulav. You shake that. So why should this be any different?
Is the mangrama specific mangrama when you can't do it at any other time?
So that's going to be one of Taisvis's Terutzim, at least Taisvis by us is going to answer that to be his Magram, it has to have a starting point and an ending point. This only has one of the two. So we'll get to that hopefully, maybe even today. Maybe, we'll see. Now, let's just continue on the Gemara for a second. We'll stop here for a second. So, Frekiv Shtaiman, an obvious Kasha. Frekiv Shtaiman, a very posh of the Kasha. Where all sort of the mothers come into the equation over here? So the Gemara is a Havamina that the mother should be chayv to give a son a bris mila. Why would you think that?
So why would you make this baby wait, 13 years to lose a gadol?
Because where else do we find in Mechala Torah Kula a special relationship? Let's go back. Let's go to the way of Shtem. What? But Tzipor, you mean? Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that. But besides that storyline, which we'll get to in a few minutes, right? If you look at Mechala Torah Kula and you scan through the Torah and you look at relationships. What type of relationships exist in parents, between children and parents? Right? So we learned some of this already. Let's say, for example, what rights does the father have in his children? It all comes back to his daughter. The father has the rights to her Maisi Adayim. The father gets to marry her off. Those are all father-based, not mother-based. Where do you ever find that a mother has any sugya, any shaykhis to any of the involvements of their children? So, Frekiv Shtaiman, number two. L'chayra kol dinam sheyesh v'ter al'af. Whenever you scan the Torah and you find something that the father has, kigayin ma'isi yodeha, the rights to the child's earnings, b'afar sedarim, to be made for the kids sedarim, the kedushin, akol rak la'av v'loy le'im. Those are all on the father, not for the mother. So why all of a sudden now would you think that the mother is involved in the sugya? If you go through the Torah, you always find that the one of the two parents who have perhaps the most relationship vis-a-vis halachas is always the father, not the mother. So why all of a sudden now would you think that the mother should be chayv in mila? Now I would just want to be moisif or really shtickle ask on Reb Shtaiman. He's kind of comparing things that are not comparable. What are the three things that he proved to us? Kedushin, afar sedarim, and ma'aseh adayim are all the fathers. What are all those three considered? Those are chosim, rights, benefits, perks.
So mila, the kid's not a Jew. He's not even in the parsha until he gets the mila, right?
I'm not sure what that means. What do you mean he's not a Jew?
I mean, you need the mila in order to...
Yeah, the question is, who's the one who has to give it to him? That's what we're doubting.
But you can't compare that to any other mitzvah. You have to...
Maybe mila is a different maybe something different about mila. It's so important.
I'm saying, my question is, what I don't like, what my kashan of Shtaiman is, the three things that he proved to you, none of them are mitzvahs. They're all chusim, rights. The father has a right to get her money. The father has a right to be mafinated. The father has a right. So good, maybe when it comes to rights, the father beats the mother. But what do you say anything about mitzvahs? Meaning, Reb Shtaiman is not proving to us that when it comes to kima mitzvahs, the father beats out the mother. He just proves to us that when it comes to hilchas rights, the father beats out the mother. But mila's
also a
mominous. Mominous rights. Mila's not a mominous right. Mila's a mitzvah.
Yeah, but so, you always have that with everything, because the Gemara has to talk about learning Torah and all that. They always have to
good. Cut. We'll come back to that. Right? The Gemara always asks the same kasha. Right. And how do you know mom is not mechuyev? How do you know mom is not mechuyev? Right? So we're going to have to keep this in mind. So Reb Shtaiman is assuming he's comparing schusim to mitzvahs. He's saying the same way b'chol ha'Torah kula, the schusim and the Torah go one direction. They go father, not mother. So why should this go mother? So he says a very gishmak teretz. He doesn't say this based on the Pnei Yeshua, but we can add based on the Pnei Yeshua we saw last week. Says Reb Shtaiman, al dekan le nisker av. He says, if you look in the Pesukim, it never says that Avraham Avinu was functioning as a father. Why? Because it wasn't saying the Pasuk. It says, the focus is not on the father, but it's on the child. Remember, if you remember the Pnei Yeshua from last week, the Pnei Yeshua said, how do you learn from the pasuk Vayomel Avram Yitzchak Benoy that Avram Avinu was acting as a father? Maybe he was acting as a Bezdin. So the Pnei Yeshua answered with that word Benoy. Avram Avinu gave a bris to his son. Why are you focusing on the son point? The answer is because that's the focus of the pasuk. That's about being a parent. Benoy means his son. So argues Reb Shneiman in the Mayikasa Raka Shetziva Oisa Lekim Hayimashmois the Chomisha Shaych Likar Benoy Yelav Mitzvah Lamoyle. So says Reb Shneiman, if that's the point, it's about being whose son he is, he's the son of the mother also. Right? You know when the kids are always in trouble, the wife always says, your kid did this, right? We all know how that goes, right? When they do well, it's always her kid, right? So Zaktas Reb Shneiman, over here when the Torah describes the mitzvah milah, it just says, Avraham Avinu gave a bris to his son. So you would have thought that it's about being a parent. It doesn't matter which parent you are, if you're the mother or the father, you're still a parent. So if it says Reb Shneiman, that's why the Gemara to have Avamin over here. Because when it came to the mitzvah milah, the way the mitzvah milah was structured in the Chumash, it wasn't as a father's obligation, but it was a parental obligation. Parental obligations go both ways. There's two parents. There's father and a mother. And therefore the Gemara had a very Gishmaka Avamin that it should be that way. Now I'd add one more nekuda. We have a big chakira, which we'll come back to maybe again and again. Is the mitzvah milah's benoy on the ben, but the ben can't do it, so the Torah throws it up to his father? Or the mitzvah is emes on the father. If you hold that the mitzvah is really on the son, then the havamina of the Gemara is very, very gishmak. Why? The mitzvah is really on the son. The son can't because he's 8 days old. So who do we give it to? Well, we give it to the people that are responsible for him. Who are responsible for him? Two people, mother and father. So then the Gemara has a very, very gishmak havamina. Frank, the Gemara, one second, if the whole nature of the mitzvah is really the kid's mitzvah, but the kid can't do it, so we got to give it to someone who's in charge. Who's in charge of this baby? Two people. Baruch Hashem, he's got two parents that are in charge. So then it makes a lot of sense to have a minute of Gemara. If you learn the other lumdis, that the chi of mila is really a din on the father, so then again, you're going to have to ask, so why did the Torah structure it on the father, not on the mother? But if you learn the other way, that the chi of is really the baby's chi of, but the Torah says babies can't do mitzvah, so we gave the mitzvah on to...
So how's the answer to Gemara work?
So the answer is Xerzakos. Answer is Xerzakos.
But not the
lumdis. Not doesn't change the lumdis. You could learn that that's good for the Shakatari, the Gemara. The Havamina was one way, and the Kamashim one is the other way. Or you could just learn that the Lumna stays the same, but the Torah says, no, we made the father the Apotropos and not the mother. Now, we mentioned last week from the Marachar Zerurah, and Marachar Zerurah has a Gevaldige Chiddush, that if the father is not around, the father is dead, so the Ein Chanami, then the mother becomes Mechuyif.
Both ways? Both?
What do you mean both?
I'm saying whichever way you hold.
Yeah, he holds no matter what Lumna you come out with. But he holds Halacha Maisa like that. He has a right from Gemara in Yevamos. We talked a little bit about it last week. But I think this all makes a lot of sense if you understand that the Chi of Mila is really the Chi of on the kid. And just the Torah says you can't obligate 8-day-old babies to do things. So we give it up to those that are in charge of him. So sometimes he has a father and a mother. Sometimes he never doesn't have a father, only a mother. So the mother gets the Chi. So I'm just pointing out that this Havamina of the Gemara works out even nicer if you understand that the Chi of Mila is a Chi of on the baby himself.
Right,
it would be the only place that. Right, it would be the only place. It would be the only mitzvah where we find that the Torah really
not
started.
Even Jewish yet.
Right, the Torah gave the chiyuv. Yeah, it would be strange. That's why. I think a lot of people don't like learning like that.
It's just deferred.
That's the question. Do you look at it to say it's really?
But when he becomes 13, older,
yeah,
he still hasn't had his bris.
Right.
Let's say.
Right, right.
So he's still not Jewish, right?
Okay. Let's leave this Judaism conversation. He's Jewish. He's Jewish.
At 13, he...
He's an oral. At 13, he has a chiyuv to get him this.
At 13, he has a chiyuv to do it.
Right.
He always had the chiyuv, he just couldn't do it.
So we'll talk about that in a second. Later today, we'll see how posh that is. Minchas Chinuch is not so sure about that. The question really is, what happens at 13? At 13, does the father's chiyuv fall off? And the son becomes the independent bar chiyuva, or at 13 they become a joint bar chiyuva. They might be telling this chakira. Oh, well, Blinad will come back to this a little later. But then he quotes out something from the Chazon Ish over here. In number 2 in Reb Shneiman, he writes, Ube Chazon Ish, ha'ir, ma'hodin nozer daf memtas. The Chazon Ish makes an observation with Gemara Nozer. De la'av yesh yoyseh svara li'tomeh me'li'tomeh li'imah. The Gemara says a svara, that it makes more sense, more logical, that you should be allowed to be metamah to your father than metamah to your mother. It says in the Chumash, they're supposed to be to the people, your father's house. So says Reb Shneiman, so this goes the other way. This shows you that when it comes to relationships via children, there's something special about the father. So Reb Shneiman says, no. the kohen hedyet mutl l'tamei the krovim. He says no, tumah is a different concept. When you want to know who you're allowed to become mitame to, then it's all about closeness. Maybe a son would be allowed to be mitame to his father because he's considered more closer in the yachas, in the relationship. We look at a son as closer than the father, even though it's interesting because the mother was the one who carried this kid for 9 months, right. And the mother is the one who makes him Jewish halachically. But in halacha, we find the mishpachosav lebeisavaisav, when you're looking at how to calculate relationships, the relationship between the father and the son is stronger than the relationship between the father and the daughter, right? We say, brakra davua. The son is a continuation of the father. You don't say the son is a continuation of the mother. So therefore, says Reb Shteinman, it's not a raya. So even though the Gemara had a tzad, that when it comes to tumah, it's pashut that the son is closer to the father than he is to the mother. So then why would the Gemara even have a havamina by us in Mila that the mother should be shaykh to Mila? He says that's not comparable. Avomitzas haben ala av eina medin karif. He says, but that's a sugya when it comes to who you're allowed to become mitametu. When you want to know who you're allowed to become mitametu, the question is, who am I closest related to? Who do I have the closest yachas to? And the answer is, says Reb Shteinman, you're the closest legally connection is to your father, not your mother.
Yes, so that's fine. In Mila, the father is the primary and the woman and the mother is the secondary. Here, the same thing. You could even say that the
tumah is... No. Here we're asking that the mother should be as equal as the father. That's our Gemara's kasha. Ihi milon d'loy mechayiv means why is the mother not mechayiv either equally as the father, as much as the father? So Zokti of Shteinman, no. Avo mitzvah saben alav eine midin kirov el din miyuchad machmas saben. He says no. Because the reason why in our Gemara this was even a conversation, because this was not about how close you are to the kid. When you want to know who you're allowed to become a tummy to, the answer is how close are you to that person? So therefore the Gemara in Nazir has a havamina that a son is much closer to his father than he is to his mother. But the mitzvah of Mila on a child is not about how close you are to your child. It's about whose child is it, and it's both of yours child. It's mother and father. Therefore says the Shteinman, that's why the Gemara had such a havamina, that you'd be able to be, that the mother should have a mitzvah also. Now, what's the Gemara's teretz? You gotta know. So either you'll say the Gemara's teretz is that Eina Chanami, you're 100% right, she's the mother, he's the father, they're both equally connected, and may Eize Tam Shiyah, for whatever reason, the Torah decided to exempt the mother from this mitzvah. Okay, now I came across this Gevaldige Machtes HaShekel in Hilchas Pesach. I don't want anyone to think I randomly know Machtes HaShekels in Hilchas Pesach. I found this in the Basha Weiss's Sefer. He knows random Machtes HaShekels in Hilchas Pesach. And I came across in the Minchas Asher and Sechas Kedushin, he quotes this Machtes HaShekel. It's a Mori de Gechidish, something to think about. He writes over here a Gevaldige Gechidish. Again, where do we learn the mitzvah of father? Where do we know the father has a mitzvah to give his son a bismillah? It says in the Pasuk, Vayomol Avram es Yitzchak Binoy. That's our Pasuk. We mentioned last week there's a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says we learn from the pasuk of Yom Hashmini Yimal B'Sar Alosik, pasuk of Parashas Tazria. Comes along the Machtes HaShekel and he writes the following. He says, what would happen if you have a Mila Shalei B'Zmane? It happens all the time. It's not an infrequent thing. A Mila Shalei B'Zmane. So we learned Rabbi Loz the Mila. So we know Mila Shalei B'Zmane is Eina Deicha Shabbos, Eina Deicha Yom Tov. But it's still a mitzvah. So if I told you a Mila Shalei B'Zmane, the father's not mechuyev in his son's Mila, Mila Shalei B'Zmane, you'd call me a kofer. You'd say, what are you talking about? A Mila Shalei B'Zmane is the same thing as a Mila B'Zmane. One's delayed. No. He says, "Ulechayre olai biruchi nino the gamim over yoyim ches hachiyav alav lemoiloi mikol mokim ein bachiyav day raisa." Moir de kechadish. Says the Machtes HaShekel that after day 8, the father's obligation on a day raisa level falls off. He is no longer mechoyim mid day raisa to give his kid a bismillah after day 8. Where did he pull this one out of? So he says, "Da be kedush nafchav tesi alfinan da avchayv lomol b'noy midich sevei yom over mitzvahs b'noy kasher tivoy selikim." V'Avraham avinu mo yitzchak yom ches. What day was Yitzchak's bris? Day 8. Niu da ben oiver koyom kishiyag da enachrami. The son will be oiver. Mikra the oral zochah shloyimol aval ala av in chiyuv menatayr.
The son would continue to have.
Yeah, avada the status of it. No. That we learned back. And once it's no longer bismana, everything is not deichas shabbos. That's exactly the cost. But zok the machtes hashekel amari de gechidish. He says that the whole din of the chiyuv of the father is learned that from the storyline of Avraham Avinu, and you got to continue on in the storyline. Now I gradually would say this halacha fits even better according to Yerushalmi, because Yerushalmi says ubiyoyim hashmini yimol is how we know that a father is mechuyev. And what does it say in the pasuk? Ubiyoyim hashmini yimol. That says on the eighth day. By Avraham and Yitzchak, you can clear a little bit. It says Avraham Avinu gave his sons a bris. And it happened to have been the eighth day. In Parshas Tazria, it's much stronger. It says in Parshas Tazria, "Ubayoyim Hashmini on the eighth day, give your son a bris." It's not the eighth day anymore. He's gradually not saying it in the Yerushalmi; he's saying it in the Bavli. But this is a Gevaldige Chiddush. Now, Rabbi Shmuel brings Raya's from Rishonim, brings Raya from Pesha Mishnayis, brings Raya from Tashbitz, that this is not so. That Avada, even after Yom Hashmini, the father still has a chiyuv de'iraisa to gemal his son, even though it's shalev zman. I just wanted to throw this in. I thought it was a very interesting chiddush lahalach. Now, if you go back to the Gemara for one second.
Why is it different on the Av?
Because when the Torah gave the tzibah to the father, it threw in those words. So this matzah shekel thinks, and that's a giveaway, that that's the way the mitzvah was structured.
But again, so, but why gave it on the Av, but it's also on the Ben, obviously. He gave it on the Av because the Ben can't do it at that point.
Right, right.
So why should it be any different on the Ben, if you're going to learn this?
What do you mean?
You can't do it on the eighth day, you'll putter from bris.
No, because that's what he performs at the end. He says, we know that that's not true because we have the pasuk of Arul Zachar Shalim Abasar Alasai. The Torah says, if you don't get that bris meal, you're an Arul. So
you don't get that on the 8th day.
No, the pashtus of the Gemara is that even after 8 days, right? That's how we learn from there. Yeah, but
why didn't he use the pasuk of Yerushalmi? The better riot.
Yeah, but the Bavli doesn't go like that. He's trying to work with the Bavli. We're big Yidim. We know Yerushalmi is not.
That's a pasuk in Tazria.
Yeah, yeah.
But
we mutchered with that Yerushalmi. Had to be Masbir with the Karben Eda and other pshatim. But Erechami, I think if someone were to tell me such a chiddush, like we mentioned last week, the chiddush that the father's mitzvah, that the B'yom Hashmini, the father's chiyuv is what was that? Bezdin's not. What did we say yesterday? Last week? We had a chiddush about B'yom Hashmini also. So we said, yeah, it works out very nicely if you're going to mutcher it into the Yerushalmi. But the Bavli doesn't go like that. The Bavli assumes it's on this pasuk. Now, the interesting thing is it happens to have been, it wasn't like it says before in the pasuk, do it on the 8th day. Kurada was the 8th day. Okay. As I learned the Machzor Zashek. Let's just go back to the Gemara for a second. We didn't finish the Gemara last week. We need to make one horror on the Gemara.
By the way, one question on the Machzor Zashek.
Yeah.
When you look at the Pesukim, when it says Vayamal Avin Asisut Beno Kasher Tzivol Sol Elohim,
yeah,
HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't command them on the 8th day. It just
right.
happened to
be. Right, right. That's what we're pointing out. We're saying it's a Chiddush, meaning Bishlam on the Pasuk in Tazria. There it's very clear in the Pasuk,
yeah,
the 8th day. Yeah, and Echanam. Yeah. The Maiser
Rebbe. Is it Rishon Machzor Zashek?
No. There's a commentary on the Shulchan, a commentary on the Magen Avraham. The Maaser Rav Asher Weiss points out that there's Rishonim that clearly do not hold like this. First of all, it's not a Gehalacha Maaser because he says you still have the Chiyuv Rabban. Right. We're just arguing in the Daraisa world. I mean, if you want to make a Pshetel, this is a nice Pshetel to talk about, that he holds no Chiyuv Daraisa. Okay, just go back to the Gemara for one second. The Gemara has a very interesting question. Frank, the Gemara with two lines from the wide lines. Ashkechon miyad ledoyrois minolon. Very, very interesting question. Ashkechem Yad, again, we'll translate, it means we find right away. For future generations, how do you know? What on earth is the Gemara talking about?
I mean, because it tells you a story.
So let's go back. Let's go back two steps. We had a Gemara before, the Gemara told me three chedusha. The Gemara said father has a chiyuv, bezin has a chiyuv, and the kid has his own chiyuv, and mother has no chiyuv. Four halachas. So when the Gemara asks, Ashkechem Yad, the Dorish Milan, which one of those four halachas is the Gemara attacking? All four? Some of the four? One of the four? Two of the four?
But this question should have been even before anything.
No, we have to first get the halachas out. Once we got the halachas out, the next question was, oh, good. Ashkechem Yad, that was only back then in the times of Rav Avinu. The Darius Menalan, how do I know for future generations? How do I know what for future generations? So you have a choice. You have four possibilities. I guess really five possibilities. Is it all four? One of the four? Which one is the Gemara attacking?
Well, the pasuk after Matan Torah, presumably it's not talking about.
Right. So that's
the only one that we use a pasuk before Matan
Torah. Well, all these pasukim, yeah. They're all before Matan Torah. That's after. That will come back.
Isn't it really only three possibilities? The first pasuk, the last pasuk, or all the pasuk?
What do you mean by the first pasuk? The father's chiyuv?
The first pasuk.
Let's look. I look at it like mitzvah.
The way the Gemara would speak. Either it speaks to the last thing it spoke of, or it starts from the beginning, or it's speaking to all of it.
I don't know. I can't say I'm well versed in the style of the Gemara. I don't know. I'm definitely not. I have no idea. I don't know. This is not an anivus. This is MS, you know. I have no idea. I don't know when the Gemara writes a line like this. What is it referring back to? I don't know.
I respectfully disagree with your last statement.
Disagree. But I don't know. I personally don't know. So that's why, if you take a look. Oh, let's finish the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Ashkecha miyad, we find immediately the Darius Menolan. And for the Gemara, Tana de Rebbe Shmuel, Kol Mokim Shener Tzav, Eine El Azirus, Miyad Uladairus. Says the Gemara, no. Whenever the word tzav appears somewhere, it always means for now and for future generations. It says in the pasuk, "Tzav is yishuv haskev amteu miyad al dayris tichsev minayim ashatziv Hashem v'halal al dayris echem." So what's the Gemara's answer? That the word tzav, which is written in our parsha, right, that means for future generations. So now we know everything is for future.
Doesn't make any difference where the tzav is in the pasuk, meaning whether the tzav is in the beginning or kasher tzivo so.
So again, what was the havamin of the Gemara? So if you take a look at number four, the sheet of lenoy de lemi. This is one of the sheetahs b'shaynim that we don't know who exactly the author was. They got to have one on Bay. I never know this. I'm learning Bay now. They have a sheet on me on Bay also. Very geschmack. He has a gewaldige chadushim there also. But he writes like this. Number four. He says, Pirish. Ashgechem miyad de'oisoi veloi oso. Says the sheet. You know what the havamina of the Gemara was? Not all of the dinim that we learned. The one din. We excluded mother from the mitzvah. Maybe only Sarah was excluded from giving her son a bris. But other mothers would be mechayiv, says the Shitl Reidoni. Pirish Ashkecha Miyad the Oisav Le'Asu. The only part of the above halachas that were only going to be le Miyad and not le Dairi, says the Shito, was the din of excluding the mother.
Wait, so
Sarah
was
excluded.
Just the father did it.
No. We're learning that Sarah was told. Hashem told Avram, you and Bedavka, not Sarah. Oisoi veloi oso means you, and not your wife who was already getting ready, scrubbing up, and ready to go.
Didn't think
so
the
Gzeirah Sheva
wouldn't apply?
It was a miyat, right? Hashem told Avram Avinu, I want you to do it and not her. So the Gemara to have me is that you but not her was not for all future women, it was just for Sarah.
But that's the one with Siva in it now. Kasher
Siva. Yeah. Okay, go. Let's finish up. Avol u'doyrois, but for future generations, I would have thought to have a mila b'chol mitzvah seishalayz man grama the noshim chayevis. Says the sheet, no, I would, but without this, to have a mila gemara is like this. That maybe dafka sarah was told not to. That was a sarah thing, but all the other women attacking mechuyev to give the son a bris mila. Why? Because mila is really a non time sensitive mitzvah.
That's against atosis.
Now that's against atosis, which we'll get to
together.
It's
the question we just answered about which.
He learned according to the sheet, the flow of the Gemara, that once we excluded women, right away the Gemara said Ashkem Yav L'Dais Menolan on the exclusion of women.
By the way, why didn't the Gemara say because women are not
mechuyev
in the mitzvah either?
We spoke about this. Because he's getting involved in a bigger question, which the old Rishayim get involved in, whether or not Mila is considered a time sensitive mitzvah or not a time sensitive mitzvah. So keep in mind.
Where does it say Kasher Tzivo? So.
Tayom alav et Parshas Lech Lecha.
So right at Tayom alav or Mesisach Benol.
Kasher Tzivo Oisay Elokim.
Yeah.
We read it on Rosh Hashanah.
It's after the Maaser already, right?
Right. After the Maaser. Hashem commanded him.
Right.
So one second. But the Shita, we didn't finish the Shita. He says, "V'leka lefrushay ledoiris minon dechayv lomolos benoy." Don't tell me that the Havim in the Gemara was that how do you know fathers have the chiv to be mamal the chosen for future generations? The behedjiksev the parshas ledoiris oylam. So that was never Havim in the says the Shita. That how do you know the mitzvah mila are the fathers for the dairy dairies? That's pashut.
Where is that? It says,
that's later on in the pasuk. That's also in those pesukim over there. You got to look up over there. So comes the chesed. According to the sheet of the Leidel Mida, Havim in the Gemara was that maybe only Sarah was exempt from giving mitzvah, from giving the bris, but other mothers would be obligated. Now again, I think this makes a lot of sense. Why does it make a lot of sense? Because based on what we've just been saying for the last 20 minutes, that the mitzvah mila is a parental obligation. There are two parents in a healthy family. There's normally two parents, father, mother. So maybe at the time Hashem told Avraham Avinu, I want you to do the Natsara, but I wouldn't have known for future generations mothers can't be involved.
Because how do you explain the reason why Sarah?
He's not. It's Gzeiras HaKasuf. Kasher Tzivo Oisoi V'lo Yoso. Hashem said so. Take it up with Hashem. I don't know. Is that? Maybe we'll mutch a little bit later to try to be masbir. But what I like about the Shita L'Nedolmi is because to me, first of all, it flows nicely with the Gemara. It was the last statement of the Gemara was the following question. What's also nice is I hear in Lomdis why there should be such a Havamina. Why? Because again, we keep on saying that Bris Mila is a parental obligation. If it's parental, it really should include the mother. Hashem told Sarah not. Of course, then maybe it was her Rosh. For whatever reason, Hashem said, I don't want Sarah doing it. But Mehecha Teisa, I have the right to imply for future generations. Like so, says the Shita L'Nedolmi that was the Havamina of the Gemara. Okay. Now, if the Olam remembers, I said last week, I don't want to repeat Torah from the Blaz of the Mila. So I'm going to be moida that I'm doing that right now. So if anyone remembers,
nobody will know.
I know, that's why I'm being moida about it. So this shtickle, we said this over when we learned Rebbe Blaz of the Mila. It's a gewaldig shtickle, so I'm saying it over again. But you'll have to forgive me for repeating. It's a beautiful piece for Rebbe David Lifshitz. I don't know if anyone was a zeichet to learn by him, but he was a goyin adir. He has the same yartzeit as the Klausenberger Rebbe. Go figure. Two people that seem very different. But they're very similar in what they did. No, not the same year. They both were lifter on Thomas. Dov Lifshitz was a Maridiki Yid. He learned in Europe. He learned by Reb Shimon, which he'll quote later today. And then Reb Shimon told him enough time, you gotta go move on. He sent him to the Mir. Then he learned by the Mir a little bit. Then he got married. And then he took over his Shver's rabbinic position. Right? He took over his then he survived the war, he came to here, and he ended up, was a Rebbe in Wayu for many, many, many years, lived in Washington Heights. And he's famous, he has very famous mechutanim. And he had three daughters. So one of his most famous mechutan is Reb Yaakov. Nasa Kamenetsky married his daughter. Right? So the one who's very close to the Rebbe Lifshitz is Rabbi Weinberg from Aish.
Yeah,
he speaks, he's a big Talmud of his. So he talks, he wrote articles, I heard podcasts from him. He talks about his relationship that he had with, very, very closely, he's very, very close with him. His relationship. The best story that he said over what I enjoyed the most was, he said, there was one thing, Rabbi Lifshitz was saying a shiur on a Raj ben Chul, a very complicated Raj ben Chulin. And Rabbi Weinberg looked clearly and he looked at the Rajba and he realized it wasn't the right blot. And Rabbi Lifshitz was reading it word by word, but it was to the wrong page. He knew by heart. It wasn't even a question. He was reading it by heart. It wasn't even a shaila. But in any case, he was a goyin adir. But in any case, one time, one article that I read, it said one time Rabbi Soloveitchik said to Rabbi Lifshitz, no, you tell me, you learned in the yeshivas. Tell me, what did they say in the yeshivas? I mean, he learned in the pre-war, he learned in the Mir, he learned in Shaar Torah Grodno. He said, no, what do they do in the yeshivas? As Rabbi Soloveitchik's comment to him once. But he was a more ridiculous, he was a big Balmidus also. He was really a very, very, very special yid. But in any case, so he has a sefer on Kedusha. I guess they printed up his shurim when the yeshiva learned Kedusha, they printed up. So he starts off like this. Number five. Mamash Gaval de Gishtiko. Again, we had the Gemara by us. The Gemara had a Havamina. That how do you know the mother is not mechoyev to give a son a bris milah? So we have a pasuk. Kashetziva oisoy alikim oisoy v'leyasa. Mothers are excluded from giving their children a bris milah. So he points out there's a taisus and avodah zarah. We tumbled a lot about this taisus and avodah zarah when we learned Rabbi Loz de Mila. Taisus and avodah zarah brings down there's machoikas amaroyim between Rav and Shmuel. Is a lady even able to be a moil? Forget obligations. Can a lady be a moil? Can a lady be a moil? Is milosay shalisha ksher? So obviously you turn to the Chumash and you see Tzipayri, you say to yourself, it's gotta be if Tzipayri did it. So the Gemara has a whole machoikis over there. Did Tzipayri really do the bris? The Gemara has a sheet over there in Avodah Zarah that Tzipayri didn't really do the bris. She told someone else to do it.
Didn't we say that if you're not mechoyev in it, you can't do it?
Exactly. That's part of the discussion, right? So if you hold that
Tzipayri... Have a mina that she could.
But again, the question still is, does that make the mila ksher? Meaning, if a guy does a bris milah because it's a rosh, the milah doesn't become kosher. That's what I want to get to. So let's see. So he writes this. Taisus said, "Avoy dezar chav zayin aman alvadim maskul isha kasu." The larab the isha enik sheir lomu. So Taisus, this is all Taisus and Avoy dezar. Taisus and Avoy dezar has the following kasha. If you hold like Rav that a lady cannot be a moil, she cannot do milah herself. So Taisus has the following question. I don't understand. The Torah walks in, the Torah says, the father has a chiv to give his son a bris milah. That means either the father does it himself, or the father hires someone. If the Gemara has a havamina that the mother should have a chiv to give a bris milah, that means the Gemara has the same logic, that either she does it, or she hires someone. Frag Taisus, what do you mean the mother? The mother's not allowed to do a bris milah. She's not kosher to do a milah. So what kind of havamina there would be? How could the Torah put a mitzvah on the mother if it's a mitzvah she can't do? How would the Torah make a mitzvah on the mother? You have to mal your son, but I'm sorry, you're not allowed to do bris milahs. Doesn't make any sense. So Taisus says, no. The Havamina was, Hainu she'ena chayev is levakesh me'ish le'moyle. Avad the Gemara knew a lady can't do the actual milah. It meant that she'd be mechoyev to hire a moyle. She'd have to call a moyle, hire a moyle. So the Havamina of the Gemara was that women are mechoyev in milah to the extent that they have to hire a moyle for their son. Kamashmul and oisayv le'yasah. They don't even have to do that. They don't have to call the moyle. That's the way Taisus reads in Masechta Avodah. So he points that over here from the Sefer HaMikneh. The Sefer HaMikneh was written by the Hafla. Question how to pronounce that name.
We did that last week?
Okay, I don't remember anymore. The Mikneh, Makneh, okay, good.
You so, had one Rebbe.
Yeah, we call it Sefer Mikneh, just to be honest. It's probably the Sefer Mikneh, based on the puzzle of Ekach Sefer Mikneh. This is written by the Hafla, right? So the Hafla writes, the L'chayra Kavonas HaTeish V'Sham, Humedin Shlichus. Says the Hafla, we'll call him the Hafla, it's easier. Says the Hafla, what's Pshat in this Taishvus? Again, when the Torah gave a mitzvah on the father to Gemal his son, what was that mitzvah? Was one or two options. Either you do it yourself if you're medically trained, or you hire someone to do it. Now, when you hire someone to do it, that person is functioning in what capacity?
Shliach.
Is your shliach. Because avad, it's a mitzvah shebegufa. You got to give your son a meal. You can't because you're not medically trained. Good, so you hire someone. And now when you hire that meal and he charges $1,500, who's doing it? You're doing it through the power of shliach. Oh, that's the problem. So therefore, say he writes this. The lechari kavanas ha'tayis yisham humidin shlichos. Again, there's a lot of assumptions that the Hafla is making. But let's work with his assumptions. His assumption is that when the Torah said a father has a chiv to give a son a bismillah, it doesn't mean that the father has to call Pesach Kron to hire him. It means that the father has to get down and cut the milah. What happens if the father doesn't know what he's doing? So then he hired a shliach to be b'mkaymoy. But the mitzvah in its root is the father's obligation to cut the oil. So one second. Here's the kasha. The kivan de la rav iloy matzi avdei. We just got finished saying that according to Rav, a woman cannot cut the skin. So heichi matzi mash v'shliach. How would she be able to make a shliach? What was Taisvah saying? Taisvah is saying that half a minute the Gemara was oisav leyasa. Without that, I would have said that the mother's mechayv to arrange a mile. What does it mean to arrange the mile? It's not just a question of inviting him to the bris and paying. It means that he's functioning on your behalf. But we have a principle called milsa di'il le'matzi avit shlichu le'matzi mashe. We have a rule. Anything you can't do, you can't have a shlich do on your behalf. So if a lady can't do the ma'isa mila because she's pasul, how can she appoint a shlich to do it?
So there's two dinim in the parental obligation is.
Yeah.
Is it to do the bris or is it to make sure the son has it?
Oh, so if you remember from Reb Loz the Mila Torah, we spoke about this from the famous Marach Arzurah, the son of the Arzurah, where he discusses that the mitzvah, and this will tie back to Zman Groma, the mitzvah is not the chatichas arla. The mitzvah is to make sure your parental obligation is to make sure end result.
Aren't you really a
shliach
of the child?
No. Again, you still have a mitzvah. The question just is where did your mitzvah start from? But at the end of the day, it's a gemara. The father has a mitzvah right now on him.
Father and mother different obligations.
All right, but it's a nice. Right. So let's see. So he says the gavaldik over here. He points out a shagasari. He says v'hinei b'sefer shagasari tomal Rambam. The Shargasari has a kasha on the Rambam. The Rambam says in Sefer HaMitzvahs, the cost of the notion of the mitzvah is Ksiva Sevetar. Is a woman mechoyiv in the mitzvah of Ksiva Sevetar? What would we say? A woman mechoyiv in the mitzvah of Ksiva Sevetar? So he writes, V'teima Shargasari ala taima de milsa. The Shargasari doesn't like the reason. Uba minchaschinach teima al tmi osoi. And the minchaschinach doesn't like the Shargasari. Why? Da'akivin de isha psula lichtev Sevetar, memela le'mas is nami le'mash v'shliach. Me'tai de minchaschinach, you know why a lady's potter for marrying a Sefer Torah, because there's no way for her to write one. She can't write one herself. She's exempt. She's puzzled. So what's she going to do? Hire a Sefer?
What's the reason, by the way, why a woman's puzzled?
I don't remember. Success or custom, maybe. Okay. I forgot. I don't know.
I'll tell you what.
It might be told if you're mechuyim in Talmud Torah or not.
The pasuk says, Va'ata l'chu kisu a Sefer Torah.
Kisu l'chem.
Yeah,
it says kiss with lechem. That's a pshat. Okay,
maybe. I have no idea.
See, I wasn't joking when I told you I don't know Gemara.
Yeah,
but in any case, so frakti minchas chinuch is pashut. How can a lady have a mitzvah to do a mitzvah that she can't do? Why can't she do it? She can't write one herself because she's pasul. So what? She's going to hire a sefer? What happened to the rules of anything you can do? You can't hire a shliach to do. So frakti minchas chinuch. Of course, the lady's exempt. She's exempt by default because you can't be obligated in a mitzvah that you can't do. Similar to the kasha we're having now with Mila. How can a lady be mechoyev to hire a moil if by hiring a moil she's not able to hire a moil? So how can she be mechoyev in the first place? That's the kasha.
Those are the mitzvot that we have about parnosa and the Talmud Torah and swimming. Is that imposed only on the father?
So the Gemara talks about all those. The Gemara bavarns
it.
The Gemara is going to talk about it. The Gemara comes out and says not. But there the Gemara has drushes. The Gemara is going to work with drushes. We'll get to that. That's on the next amud, so figure 6 months. Okay, good. Fine.
Is Shaila in the Havamina?
Shaila in the Havamina, yes. What was the Havamina of the Gemara? How could the Gemara think that the mother would be mechoyev to hire a moil if there's no way she could hire a moil legally? So he says the Gavaldik Yisai from his Rebbe Reb Shimon. He writes, because of the Moivi Rebbe Yisifroi, my Rebbe Reb Shimon writes in the Sefer Shari Yosher, Al Pi Mashi Chiddush Sham, based on a Chiddush from Reb Shimon, the Beshlichus Yeshnei Yonim. There's two dinim in shlichus. Reb Shimon was not a brisker. Contrary to what people say that he learned by Reb Chaim, he never learned by Reb Chaim. He was friends with Reb Chaim. He never learned by Reb Chaim. But in any case, Reb Shimon writes like this. There's two types of shlichus. Two different versions of shlichus. Ha'echad, bidvarim she'im b'koyach la'asoyisam el ha'mishalech. The typical case of shlichus means is that I have the power, I have the authority to do something, and I give it over to you. What does that mean? Keep going. The Kaddish Yishol HaMishalech, right? Let's say I have a ring. I tell you, do it on the block. You see that girl? Give her ring and say to her, Ariyam HaKadosh is to me. The pshat is that I have the power to marry her myself. And now I'm authorizing you to act on my behalf. That's shlichus. That you're working on my behalf. Now, without my consent, you're nobody. You can't just walk over to a girl and give her a ring and say, Reuven wants to marry you. You have no power. Your power comes because I gave you authorization. That's the classical example of shlichus. I ask you to buy me something. This type of shlichus works with the lumnus that what? I give you that I have. I authorize you to do that I can do. I ask you to do on my behalf. That's classical shlichus. Zogt Reb Shimon, Reb David Lifshitz, Ve'oid yesh inyan shlichus, there's another type of shlichus. Bedvarim she'etzem hachalayz v'hamayse b'yad kol adam lasis. There's another type of shlichus. I don't need to have your power to do it. It's a metzias, it's a physical thing. Kigoin. Lasis chalayz mila latinik, she'kol adam. She'kosh aloyma b'koyche lasis maise zeh. If I walk into a bris mila, and I knock the mile over, and I take the baby, and I cut the baby, and I do the orla, and I cut the orla off. And you tell me, well, you weren't nismana from the father, so there's no shlichus, so the mila is not chal. That's ridiculous. The kid's cut. It's a mitzias. You want to know who gets the mitzvah? Good, now we can clear who gets the mitzvah. But this is not a question of you needed power, you needed bailis, you needed control to make this mitzvah. It's a mitzias.
Seems like a very big exception. Like, where else would that ever happen?
Shrita, Sefer Torah.
Not,
I don't think you have to come on to that. I think the point is that it's because the fact is the mila was done. The mitzvah was done.
Say this with some other
mitzvah? The one he's going to use is Ksiva Sefer Torah. Same thing with the Sefer Torah, right? Is it right? The question is, what's the mitzvah? You don't need power to do this mitzvah. Exactly. You need the outcome. You need to have a gemal to take a baby. How you got a baby is not important. But to marry a lady, you need to have authority to do such a thing.
So, that
no, certain people are mufka from the parasha completely, right? They're just totally excluded. But let's say you have a kosher, a yid, who you just didn't hire, right? A mother comes off the street, I didn't hire him, he comes out of left field and scoops in and does the mila.
So if a Jewish doctor does a Jewish baby without an
inherent from... That's a baby's gemalt. 100%.
But if he's born gemalt,
that comes down bris, right? You'll get in big trouble legally.
So what are you saying? Same thing with the lead to that the woman should be able to do it?
So he's leading us up to realizing that the shlichus you use for a mile is different than the shlich you use to do a chalais for you.
Two questions. First of all, how do we know a woman can't shecht?
Who said a lady can't shecht?
So why do we say by shchita as long as it ends?
Who said shchita? I didn't say a word about shchita.
Didn't we give an example of shchita?
Yeah.
No, that wasn't with women. That was shchita is a result-oriented mitzvah. The point is that the animal gets gemah. The animal gets shechted. Who does the shchita? I don't care. But I've had issues with shchita. But a goy, he's exempt from being able to moil.
No,
we're going to be. But I'm just trying to draw a distinction between the mitzvah and the power to do the mitzvah. You don't need to have a power to give a bris mila. You have to be in the parasha of mila to give a bris mila. But if you're a goy, you can't do a bris mila.
But a goy, the same example, goy comes in, he knocks the moil away, he finishes the bris
mila. No good.
So we redo it.
Yeah, 100%.
But if the woman does it, maybe we'd say the same thing.
Well, I don't know yet. We're not up to a woman yet. Okay, I'm just drawing, again, the purr that we're doing right now is we're trying to understand there's two different types of shlichus in the world. There's what we call giving over of authority, giving over power. What do they call them legally? No, when you give over power of attorney, right? Power of attorney, right? That's the legal term. That's one type of shlichus. And the other type of shlichus is not the pshat that I can't do without your permission. I can give a bris mila to any baby in the world that I want, and the baby will be gemalt. So what does shlichus do? We didn't get to the end. So what do you need shlichus there? The other shlichus is who's going to get the credit for it? Who am I misyaches the ma'isa to?
So when you hire a mile, who gets the credit? The father,
dad. Dad. He's my shlich. So when I hire the moil and I tell the moil, do for me, so then when the baby gets gemalt via the moil, I'm getting the credit.
So but the moil gets no mitzvah.
It's a shliach, he gets a mitzvah, it's a shliach. But then the key of my mitzvah, a yom avra mitzvah, when every father gets when he hires a moil. But the question is, let's say you don't hire the moil. The moil swoops in and he just does it. So you tell me the baby's not gemalt? That's ridiculous. Of course the baby's gemalt. You wonder who will get the mitzvah in that case? So then echnami, the moil will get the mitzvah. You're not misyaches it back to the father. So here's the best part. So he says like this. Anyone can do. Let's say, for example, I don't know if he talks about this. Let's say a maka. Let's say I have a mitzvah to put a maka around my fence. And I'm lazy. And a guy sees me and he does me a toive, he puts it up for me. You're going to tell me, it's no good. I didn't make you a shlich to put up the maka. It's ridiculous. The maka is there.
That's result oriented.
It's not shlich. It's not shlich.
Exactly.
Right. He's doing it.
Oh, the question is, I won't get a mitzvah for it.
Right. There's no shlichus.
What do you mean? No, if I'd hire you, then there'd be shlichus. Right, there is no shlichus then. No MMA, what does that mean?
Why is he saying it's the second kind of shlichus?
It's not the second type. It's
a way of doing a mitzvah.
No, the point is that when you would appoint someone to build a maka for you, all he's really doing is just to get it that you get the credit for it. Not that without him making you a shlich, you wouldn't be able to build it. That's the point. The point is when we talk about shlichus, sometimes shlichus means I'm giving you over the power that I have, and sometimes it's not about power. It's just a question of who's going to get the credit for this. In order for me to get the credit for an action you do, I need to make you my shlich. but the action will still stand. It's not the question. Some guy called me up, a Rav called me up, he said, Gevaldik Hashayla happened to, he said, oh, someone was away for the first days of Sukkos, and the guy's Sukkah fell down. And a Goyish neighbor on his own saw, and built the entire Sukkah off from scratch on Shabbos.
Wow.
That's a nice neighbor. So the guy's Hashayla was, is it a problem? Well, nice, it's not a problem. Yeah, Sukkah's Gambach. It's not a problem, halacha nice. I just thought it's very impressive that a guy saw the Sukkah fell down, and on his own, the guy was away, he was out of town. The guy Mamish went up, and he built it. Marzik and Mice. The Mice of the Sukkah's Kosher, I think, without a problem, but maybe Rabbi Tam has a problem. Okay, whatever. But in any case, the Sukkah's Kosher. I just thought it was a Gevaldik story. Now, in that case, maybe.
Especially in
the day and age
that the guy actually put it up and
did not. It Kenzai, the guy had Dasl Shem Tzel. Anyways, we spoke about this in other shirt. Yeah. It could be, it's not a problem anyways. But my point is that the same idea. Let's say, for example, I don't build a Sukkah. Let's say you assume Binyan Sukkah is a mitzvah, which itself is a Shaila, right? Some guy sees that I don't have a Sukkah, he comes out of the goodness of his heart, he sees the wood piled up, he just builds it for me. You told him, I wasn't Mani or Shliach, so now because there was no Shlichos, the Sukkah is built. Well, if you have the Intim Saloyma, like the Nitziv, that Binyan Sukkah is a mitzvah, I don't think it's just the Nitziv. I think there's Raya's from Rishonim already. Rashi is clear, at least in two places, that he holds Binyan Sukkah is a mitzvah. I think the Ramos called the Binyan Sukkah is a mitzvah. More than Hashem mitzvah, yeah.
So the Nafkin made it between the two examples, the two ways to look at it.
Right.
So if it's something that I have to give authority to do, versus it just has to be done. The nafkamina would be whether the shliach has to be a kohen. Could also have that responsibility.
Exactly. Now we understand where we're going with all this. The nafkamina between these two types of shlichas is the original question. Kol milso de ilu matziav shlich le matziav. We have a principle. Anything that I can't do, I can't make you a shlich to do. That makes a lot of sense if it's a question of giving over power. Again, I can only give over power to you if I have the power in the first place.
And if you also have something that you have a shayfus to do. Like, I can't make you my shaliach to do something that you physically, that you halachically can't do, right?
Not necessarily. Again,
no, can I?
No, if I'm authorizing, again, if shlichus means the first way, that I'm authorizing you to work as my agent, so then you can only be as good as I am. You can't be better than me. If I ask a guy, do me a favor, go be mekadesh at Isha, then I'm not allowed to marry. It doesn't work. Why? Because, but I made a shliach. Who cares? Shlichus means he's acting on my agent. If I don't have the power, he doesn't have the power.
But someone who's not, he's asking someone who's not in the parasha of Kedusha. Let's say you ask the guy to be.
That's a separate question. That's another deal. Right, that's another deal. Oh, that's another deal. Oh, but I want to go the other way. Right, let's go this way. Oh, that's what I want to get to right now. We'll get to that right now. But Zark, David Lifsh is based on Rib Shimon. Let's go the other way. But in the Havamina of the Gemara, that the lady has a chiv. What was her chiv? Her chiv is to hire the mile. So what was the kash? The kash doesn't mean she's going to hire the mile. She can't hire the mile. Why can't she hire the mile? Because she can't do the mila herself. No. That's only if it's the type of shlichos where I'm giving you over authority. Mila, I'm not giving you over authority. Mila is just, I'm asking you to attract
the result.
I want a result and I want to get the credit. So the Havamina of the Gemara was, of course she can make a shlich. No, I don't think you have to say that. I think it works because it's end goal oriented. It's just have the kid of Bismillah. So therefore, says the Davalif, it's like this. Ulefizeh. Kasov, Lodon, the whole din zed, the whole milsa, the ule, matzi, avash, shlich, le, matzi, mashvei. This whole din that you can't make a shlich for something you can't do. Ene ele, but din harishin, shesh, b'shlichos. That's only when you're talking about the classical case of shlichos, where it's about giving over authority. Dahainu, mesiris hakoyach, shalasiyas achalois. I'm giving you the power to do something for me. Dim hu atzma, le, matzi, of it. If I don't have the power to do it, harehu atzma, ein lakoch. Again, if I don't have the power to do something, I can't put you to do it for me. Right? This is Pashat. So he writes on the next page, Mashenke, in top right corner. Mashenke, be'inyin shlichus, rakle, siyaches, hamaisala, mashalech. But let's go back to our shlichus. When the lady calls up the moil, what do we want to do? We're saying now that the power to give the bris is being given over from the lady to the moil? No. You don't need any power. Any yid can give a bris milah. So what do you need? You need to know who's going to get the credit. Credit? She can get the credit. Rashi enki minyan shlichus rak l'siachis hamais al mishalech shelo tzarich mesias hakoyach kanal. You don't need any fancy giving over of power. Then we don't apply the rule of the Gemara Nedarim. The Gemara Nedarim that says anything you can't do, you can't give to a shlich. That's only when you're talking about power-based things. Any mitzvah, any power that I don't have, I can't give to you. But it's not a question of power over here. Here it's a question of who's going to get the credit. So yeah, I'll hire the moil and I'll get the credit. That was the Havamina of the Gemara. According to Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, the Havamina of the Gemara was that when a lady calls up the moil, She can make the moil shliach. What would the shliach mean? The shliach means that now when you do it, I'm getting the credit for it. That you could do.
The woman
would get the credit.
But you have to arrive at the fact that she
right, that was the Havnina. The Havnina, if there's no Oisai V'lai Asa, so then she would have a Chiv. I, Akash, was she can't ever hire a Moel. Of course she could hire a Moel, because it's a different type of Shlichas. Says Reb Lifshitz, now we understand the Shagasai with the Minchas Chanuch.
But still, Chiv for her?
In the Havamina of the Gemara, it would have been. Right? Without Oisai V'lai Asa, she'd be Mechoyiv. The Kasha we had was, how can the Torah be Mechayiv you in a mitzvah that you can't do? Because you can't do it yourself, and you can't hire someone. Says Reb Lifshitz, of course you can hire someone. Either Gemara says anything you can do, you can't hire a shliach. Yeah, that's when it's the typical shlichus. But when it's this type of shlichus, no such problem.
But so now the Torah excluded one. Does that mean it's not a mitzvah even?
Oh, we have to get to that. That we have to talk about.
What's this type of shlichus that it's different?
Because it's not a power base. It's not really shlichus. It's not really shlichus. The shlichus is just to be mesiachus me to get the mitzvah. No, you do need an element of shlichus to get the mitzvah, for credit. And if you want to know who's going to get the mitzvah, again, in the Havamina of the Gemara, when you call up the Moel, who gets the mitzvah? Yeah.
So it's not really,
exactly. It's not really, exactly, you're right.
It's effectuated.
Exactly. It's not, I mean...
Or you just say it's result, or any time it's result, or...
Whatever word you want to use.
We say it's nothing?
No, it's not. The point is that the extent of you being me is just in relevancy for me getting the mitzvah. That's not the pshat. You are me. I'm me, and you're you, and you're doing what you're doing. I just want to know who gets the credit. So because of shlichus, I'll now get the credit. That's the whole din of shlichus. You're right.
Can you say that any time that it's result oriented, that would apply. Knows as long as it's get the job done.
Oh, so that's what he says.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. So Zakh Dov Lifshitz, where else do you find this? By Ksiva Sefer Torah. What's Ksiva Sefer Torah about? You're gonna tell me that if a guy decides to do me a favor and he writes up a Sefer Torah, and I don't ever ask him, the Sefer writes a Sefer Torah, says, here's your Sefer Torah. So Avada, the Sefer Torah is kosher. Question is, I'm not going to get credit for that Sefer Torah because I didn't write it. And I didn't ask you to write it. My asking you to write it is would make you my agent, and after you're my agent, I get the credit.
Is paying for it without, do you need words, or the fact that you need
a person
to do it?
Yeah, I think that would be good. I think that would be good enough. Yeah, I think so. So he explains Geshmak now. He says, V'asi Shapir lefizeh, the lul exeris hakosav da oisiv leyoso. If not for the exeris hakosav, Shapir hay shayach shlichas kazeh. It would be possible for a lady to make the moil a shliach. The yaches maisa hamila laheim. To connect the action of the moil to the mother, afti ihi lemotzi avdi, even though shitaka can't do it. Because it's a different type of shlichus. The shlichus required by Mila is not a question of power or authority, it's a question of who gets the mitzvah. So that would be good enough to say that the moel does it and I get the mitzvah. Now he says, now it's also very good. Now we talk to understand that if a lady wanted to write a Sefer Torah, she would hire a Sefer, make him her shlich. You can't make a shlich for anything you can't do, not Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah is not the shab that I'm giving you the power to be on my behalf. It means I'm trying to get the result to be back on my track. Meaning I'm asking you to write a Sefer Torah, and that writing should be as if I wrote it. That you could do.
Could she hire somebody to write a letter, and you'll do it at the end of
the Yeah, to the extent that she can write a cipher, she's the same thing.
Right, so she could only go over to somebody and say...
Yeah, a lady can go over to a cipher and say, listen, here's $50,000, write me a Sefer Torah.
No, but I'm saying... We can do a letter at the end.
It's the same thing. It's the same shlichus.
She can have somebody do it.
Yeah, it's the same shlichus. It's the same idea that he's acting on my behalf and it's kilu I get the mitzvah. It's not the fact that I gave him the power to write a Sefer Torah. You don't need power to write a Sefer Torah. Exactly. So now I get the credit for the Ksiva Sefer Torah.
When you say credit, so...
Mitzvah.
The woman doesn't have the chiyuv.
That's what we're debating.
But if she does it...
No, but that's what we're debating. We're trying to figure out, does she have a chiyuv? So one of the pshatim was, she can't have a chiyuv because she has no way to do it. Because she can't hire someone... That's what we're answering. That's exactly what we're answering.
So does that mean that she does have a chiyuv, or does it mean that she still gets a mitzvah, even though
she... No, those sheets is whole. She's
a woman does...
Is she included in the asteroid,
right? No, that's machlokes. The Rambam says no. The Rambam says she's potter. So Milchas Chinuch says, I'll tell you why she's potter. She's potter because there's no way to make her chayiv. Because if you make her chayiv, she can't write it, and she can't hire a sefer, so she's stuck. So it says of the Devolushes, that's not true. She can hire a sefer. Doesn't mean she's still chayiv. It just means in Lomdis, if she were to hire a sefer, we'd be able to do misyachas back to her.
So she would get a mitzvah.
Yeah, she would get a mitzvah.
Even though she wasn't...
Correct.
Like Lula.
Right, pashtus, kibshuta.
But is it the same mitzvah that a man would get who's a man? I'm not talking about the level of how much you mitzvah or onion.
Yeah,
I would think... like a general mitzvah of doing thing, or is she getting a mitzvah of writing of Ksiva Sefer Torah? She doesn't have a mitzvah.
Not sure if that's a yakim of this mitzvah.
So Ksiva Sefer Torah is not a mitzvah in writing it, it's a mitzvah in making sure...
It's not a mitzvah that you need to have power for to do. It's an end. It's an end result. The Torah wants that there should be more Torahs.
If I walk in Sofer and buy a Sefer Torah that he wrote, but I never asked him to, am I still getting credit?
I don't know. It's a good question. That's a good question. I don't know. It's a good question. Not sure. Okay, Baisi, let's go back to our Tysus over here. A very shver Tysus we got to deal with now. Okay, let's try to deal with this Tysus. Number 6 on the second page. Zog Tysus. Zog Tysus. Oisai v'layasa. We have the drasha of Oisai v'layasa to exclude Sarah from the mitzvah of Mila. Vim time effect Tysus akasha. Lo malikra. Why do we need a pasuk to exempt women from the mitzvah of Mila? Typically the mitzvah says shazman gromahu. I understand. It's a regular mitzvah shazman gromahu. Why? Shanimo b'shmini l'laydasai. Because you can't do it until the 8th day. It's limited by time. It's controlled by time. So Fractasis, if it's controlled by time, we have a rule that all time-sensitive mitzvahs, women are part of. So Fractasis, Akasha, why do I need a special prosuk to tell me that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Mila? Of course they're exempt. We have an old-fashioned rule called mitzvah Sejah Magrama, women are part of. So Tasis gives a very interesting answer. Yishloi Mar, Kivin Yemiyem Hashmini Vo'olo In Lehefsik, Lavs Man Gramahu. Tasis says, you're right. It doesn't kick until day 8. But once day 8 kicks in, it never ends. It goes on and on and on forever.
No,
One second. We got a lot of caches on this. But let's deal with this Taisus slowly, because it's a very shver Taisus. What was the original Yisoid of Taisus? Taisus started off with a kasha that the mitzvah of Mila doesn't start until day 8. So it's considered a time-sensitive mitzvah because it doesn't kick in until a certain amount of time. What was Taisus' answer? No, it doesn't matter. But once it kicks in, I don't care when it kicks in. But once it kicks in, it goes forever and ever, and therefore it's not a time-sensitive mitzvah.
Is that even true? Because I think we learned that once the boy becomes a bar mitzvah, the father knows.
The Minchas Chinuch's kasha, very good. David Mechavim to Minchas Chinuch's kasha. In fact, the Minchas Chinuch, we'll get to that, probably not today, it's all in the bottom of the sheet. In fact, the Minchas Chinuch, 1 second. Didn't you just tell us that when the kid gets bar mitzvah, now the chiyuv goes from the kid to the father, from the father to the son, so the father is done. So how can you tell me the father's never done? Kavaldik, we'll get to that.
You haven't answered day and night yet.
Oh, we didn't get to even day and night yet. Oh, so let's see. Now, before we even get to the complicated parts, let's just take a look on the first, if you could just flip your page for a second, to the Taisus Rush 9b left corner. Again, everybody, so this needs a little hesber. What was the starting point of Taisus? Taisus walked in with a kasha. Mila is time sensitive. Why? Because it doesn't start until day 8.
Is that the part true that it doesn't start until day 8?
Well, we know that from Reb Elazar Mila, right?
We know that we do it on day 8.
Wasn't there a thing that
you start before its connection? Yeah. Right, so we tumult a lot in Reb Elazar Mila that if you do Mila before day 8, what's the status?
Is there a shame early?
That's Reb Chaim's test. Okay, good. Let's see. So Taisus fragged the kasha that before day 8, it should be Zman Groma because the mitzvah doesn't start till day 8. What's Taisus' answer? I don't care it doesn't start till day 8. But once it starts, it never stops. So that itself needs Hesber. What makes something Zman Groma? Right. Does Zman Groma mean it has a starting point and an ending point? Or does Zman Groma mean it has one of the two? So Taisus in his Teretz is Mechadish, that in order to be a Zman Groma, it has to have a starting point and an ending point. If it only has one, it's not Zman Groma. Now, if you take a look in the Taisus Rush in the bottom left corner, he brings a riot to Taisus. He goes to Taisus' kasha, he gives Taisus his answer, and he says, Kimoi Pidyon HaBen. So they'll bring you right to this. Don't be so nispal that the fact that it has a starting point is a reason why it should be Zman Groma, is because we already find similar in this somewhere else. Where Pidyon HaBen? Everyone knows that Pidyon HaBen doesn't happen before day 30, but after day 30 it runs forever. And that's why Pidyon HaBen is not a time-sensitive mitzvah. Therefore says the Taisus Rush, same thing with Mila. Mila Eina Chanami won't start until day 8, but that doesn't bother me.
It's on the following stage.
Right, but once it starts, it goes forever. Now, I have a stupid problem with this Taisus Rush. I don't think it's a good comparison. Now, why doesn't Pidyon HaBen start before day 30? Because we possibly don't know the baby's alive. The whole mitzvah is not shaykh until the baby passes 30th day. It's not like the Torah could have picked any one day, the Torah waited till 30, and then the Torah said, you know what, at 30, now I'm ready. Now, there's a reason for it. Because before 30, it's a suffix nafal. There's nothing to be paid if the baby's going to die.
So if we advanced medical technology to the point where we knew about it, that's only because they didn't know.
But we know that. They tell us Pshat in the Pasuk. Pshat in the Pasuk is to avoid Chashash Nefel. Now, by an Orla, so we know the famous Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim says that until day 8, the skin doesn't have a shame Orla, whatever that's supposed to mean. That's Reb Chaim's right. But that's much more halachic than it is physical. Right? That skin is there the first day. It grows until we cut it on day 8. But the comparison to Pidyon HaBen bothers me a little bit. Because by Pidyon HaBen, the first 30 days, it's not a halachic issue, it's a physical issue. You got to make sure the baby survives long enough to do a pedida ben. So that's why it doesn't start till day 30. But by Arla, it's not like that. You could have done the bris on the first day, theory. So it's a shtickel tzorachim. I mean, what
you also say, venue, who knows if the baby will make it to day 8, and therefore the chiv should only start on day 8 because the baby may not be here.
No one says that. So if you remember when we learned Rabbi Elazar the Mila, we talked about this. Why Taka was it given day 8? That's not the reason the Gemara Nida says. The Gemara Nida gives a different reason. Right. But we pointed out from the Ramah, Pesha Mishnah.
I think that what you're saying is not correct.
Oh, yeah?
Because if you were to do.
I've heard worse.
If you were to do the Pidyon HaBen on day 10 and the baby survived, would you say that it's effective? Because you show, now you showed that it was a...
Like a shadow. I think it's a discussion.
On the 30th day.
That's not a riot that Bidyevit... Again.
It's a riot that is something in the 30 days that doesn't kick in yet. Whatever it is, you call it for this...
You're saying Bidyevit, you're not Yetzer?
I would say you're not Yetzer.
I'm not so sure about that. I don't know.
Afraid.
We got to learn Hechus Pidyon HaBen now, everybody's saying. I don't know. I personally don't know. I'm with you. I had the same shadow. I cleared the same shiloh, but you're asking. That would be the nafkamino, according to what we're saying. If you did the pidyon HaBen on day 12, and then the baby, Baruch Hashem, survives, is it kashal mafer or not? It's probably halacha shel Aruch, which I don't know. Yeah.
I have another question. Pidyon HaBen, does the child have an obligation to be poda himself if the father dies?
Yes, I was going to say yes.
So just like Mila.
Yes, in that regard. Well, see, it's different because no chiv bezdin tamal to do a pidyon HaBen, which we'll get to.
No, was constantly being
yeah?
I recently found someone named Rappaport.
Because that's the Miuchas like a family.
Yeah.
Rappaport's a Miuchas.
Do you do a pidyon HaBen if the baby was sick and you still could not have done the Mila by day 30?
It's also a question. I don't think that Tala Zeb is it. I don't think so. No, okay, maybe I'm wrong. I'm not saying I'm right.
You can do a pidyon HaBen and do the
precept. I think they're not Tala Zeb, they're two independent mitzvahs. Okay, either way, the bomb cat, so we can, okay, so we have another week to learn Hechos Pidyon HaBen. I don't know who's right. But I'll put him back to Tosfos for a second. Okay, I know it's late. But the problem with Tosfos is, Tosfos said that once day 8 comes, the mitzvah goes forever. We know that's not true. Why is it Tosfos? What do you mean? After day 8, the mitzvah goes forever? It's not true. You can't do bris milas at night. There's one sheet in Yevamis that holds that once you hit day 8, and now it's ready, after day 8, the Mila can be done any time of the day. So therefore, Zoktai says, oh, now Mila is not Zman Gromla.
What's the reason why after day you can do it any time versus...
He makes a drasha. The Gemara has a drasha. But what's the obvious kasha on Taisa v'Chevra? Gavaldik kasha that we should all ask. Very nice. After day 8, you can do a mila bein b'yom bein b'layla. You still can't do it on Shabbos v'yomtiv. We know mila shleib zman is not deicha Shabbos. So what did Taisa's answer? Taisa's old Taisa. Exactly. Yeah. That makes Zman Gromla. So what was Taisa's old answer? Once I get to day 8. Mr. Shem, next week we'll deal with this Shiloh and try to be Masber better how to learn this Taisa. Then we have to see the other Rishonim. A lot to get to still, Mr. Shem.